All right, we are live Monday morning, and I thought about you this weekend because this video came up on my feed, and I thought, oh, that's Leanne and the Gen Zs in her office.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I can imagine you trying to, because you're pretty good at this, actually. Like, you're a sport, you know, you'll take part in things if there's some office activity going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you've got all these Gen Zs who are, you know, talking about things that you might not understand the lingo of. You catch on pretty quickly, though, so you probably speak Gen Z.
I do speak Gen Z, yes.
But they sometimes make you do stuff in an office where, you know, you have to partake, but in the beginning you look like an old person trying to be Gen Z, and then you, before you know it, you get into it. So this video made me think of you.
Is that Maud?
That's you. I think that's Maud, yeah. Don't you think that's you? With the Gen Zs?
Yeah, okay.
I think so.
I can see that.
So anyone else who's in an office with a bunch of people where there's a massive like generation gap, now you know.
Yeah.
That's sure. How it looks.
And you don't realize how big the gap is until you can like count it out. Like 30 years is a big gap.
Hey, listen, you owe me an explanation for the Gene Hackman death. Remember how we couldn't figure out what the hell had happened there. So Gene Hackman, his wife, and the dog all fucking died at the same time, and nobody can figure it out. Very bizarre.
The media were trying to – they've now taken like a normal story and try to make it odd so that it catches your attention.
Well, this was odd.
They said Gene Hackman body camera footage, so of the cops, reveals a gruesome request. The request was quietly – Gene Hackman's daughter was standing with the cops and they were making arrangements with what to do with the bodies now that everybody had been found. And she politely said, you know, could the dog that they found that was dead, could we cremate the dog and then the ashes could be buried with Gene Hackman's wife, her stepmom?
Right.
Obviously, they had a close relationship. So that was all that it was, but the media like gruesome discovery.
This is clickbait, right?
Completely. Yeah. But anyway, to get to the story, we finally know what happened. So the wife, what was her name? That's his daughter, Elizabeth Hackman.
Titlohan. What's her name?
I can't. Oh, gosh.
I don't know what her name is. She's Gene Hackman's wife. I didn't even know what she looked like until...
Arakawa, that was it.
That's right. Okay, yeah. I would have remembered that. Go on.
So she was apparently the first to go, right?
Oh.
She had that weird rat disease that's very rare. She had a disease that was caused by rats.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Like the bubonic plague?
The autopsy revealed that she died from Hunter virus. Not Hunter, but H-A-N-T-A. A rare but fatal disease spread by rodents.
Huh.
So she was the first to go. She was the one that was found with all these poles. And a fan had fallen near her. You know, not a movie fan, but just a fan that blows air.
A pedestal fan. Okay, yeah.
She obviously tried to grab onto that and she'd fallen and died. Gene Hackman, who at the age of 92, I think, is now severely battling with severe Alzheimer's.
So he didn't know whether he was a teapot or a hockey stick.
He didn't know.
And then Arakara, whatever her name is, has fallen down. And he goes, oh.
And they had just come back from the vet with the dog. And that's why the dog was in a crate.
Oh, my God. And it starved.
It actually died of dehydration.
Oh, my God. What a sad, horrible story.
And Gene Hackman had died of a combination of Alzheimer's and the heart.
Well.
Because now he wasn't having his medication.
You know, anyone who thought it was romantic that they all went together, that doesn't sound very romantic.
No, it sounds awful.
Sounds horrific.
So experts say that he may not even have realized that his wife was dead.
No, he didn't know what was going on.
To his own death.
He said, hey, why are you so quiet?
Oh, gosh.
He's like, what's wrong with you?
It's not ideal, you know.
Huh. Why are you? But, why are you and the dog so quiet?
Something so lazy, get up and do your work.
Oh, man.
But the good news is there were two other dogs who
They made
endured terrible times in this house, but they at least have made it and they've gone to good homes.
And they've got PTSD from being in the Hackman home.
Yeah, from being in this
wow
hell of a house of death.
Okay, well, I suppose that's an explanation. I've got much happier things to show you.
Good.
This is very cute. So someone I know was on a golf course somewhere. I don't know where. I just love this. There's a little springbok. And this thing is so cute and so tame. And I love the way they do their little, you know, their little jumps that gave them the name springbok.
Oh, yes.
So take a look here. Hey. Watch. Watch.
I'll put it down.
Dances. Is that cute? Look, that's so sweet. Yeah. So sweet.
So cute.
Damn, that's cool. I just think it's the cutest thing ever.
The big rage at the moment is baby goats.
Oh, yeah?
And they do the same thing. They do this little jumpy thing. They're completely not in control of their bodies when they get the zoomies. Want to be up high on everything, falling off.
Yeah.
Oh, I think a lot of people like want to, it's that people are going to want to buy baby goats. That's what's going on.
Yeah, I won't. I've never liked a goat, but okay, we're not going to go down that path. I'm optimistic and full of the joys of autumn this morning. So mm-hmm. here, just to make you feel even more sweet, there is a video that I found, someone sent me, of like two birds taking shelter inside a rose, two little birds.
Oh.
I mean, this is, again, just very happy and sweet and lovely. So if you were looking for optimism and positivity this morning, you come to the right place. Here we go. Isn't that cool?
So cute.
Yeah, I thought so. So here's something not cool at all. Someone's invented a couple's toilet.
Oh, no.
Yes, believe it or not. So you can take a shit with each other. Come on, Leanne. This is like
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there we go. This is like those people who have a joint Facebook account, you know? Neil and Desiree, whatever, Pochenpool. This is our joint Instagram account where we post everything as husband and wife. Look at that toilet. How does that work? So you're facing the one way, she's facing the other way. Is that the flushing mechanism in the middle? So
you know, this is going to give me nightmares because I already have nightmares about toilet issues. Obviously, in my dream, I'm needing to go to the loo, right? But I'm just not waking up.
Yeah.
And I'm walking into, whether it's in a shopping center, a school, someone's house, and there are these vast rooms of toilets like that with no doors. And everyone's just walking around. And every bog is dirty. And the floors are dirty and I'm barefoot.
These are your nightmares. Reason. These are the terrible dreams you have when you're on your own.
That feeling you can't get away and hide. Or it's got a door,
but
it's glass.
By the way, I've got to tell you, your aunt's asshole stretching story from last week, everybody has just loved it.
Oh, that's good. I'll tell her.
It went viral. Yeah, she'll be thrilled. She's very famous. People just loved that story.
You know, she would be highly offended if she found out that I'd said something. I mean, I didn't mention her name. No one's going to know.
Well, the first time I've ever heard of an asshole stretching. But, you know, there we go.
There's a world of good.
Would you recommend it for all of us?
Well, if you have persistent bladder issues, apparently it works. And you'd think you'd need something else stretched if you had bladder issues.
Man.
But no, the asshole helps.
All right. while we're looking at ridiculous things that have been going on the internet, besides the aunt's stretched asshole. I don't know what this is. It's like some kind of repo show or whatever.
Yeah.
You get these shows where like the guy who does the repo is paid to go and intervene and get someone's furniture back or whatever. this guy's shouting at this woman. Then the guy comes out, and I don't know what's happening here, but it seems like there's a lot of anger and potentially also mental illness. Have you got that clip? Okay, just show Leanne what I mean.
I met you. You've got four fucked up sofas, man. Only the furniture. The furniture here was my furniture. The
clown. He's nothing but a clown. That's all he is. He's a clown.
This clown just wants his own things.
Sorry, your vrouw.
Jij is op mijn voetbal, vrouw.
Sorry, your vrouw. Wat heb je gehoord? Hoe kunnen jij mijn Prado gestel?
I haven't stolen it. Al wat ik wil gehad heb. Betaal mij uit wat mij opgeneek heb. Ik wil jou gehelpen.
I don't know what that show is, but I want to see more.
Wow. Is that guy in an EFF outfit?
I don't know. He's the repo guy, I think. Okay. He's the one who's coming to repossess the stuff that belongs to the guy who's...
Oh, my God.
So it's hard to work out what's actually going on there. But it does, I mean, that there are people like this in the world. It's phenomenal, huh? Speaking of people like that, James, do you want to come and give us some sport? Don't ask questions you don't want the answers to. Yeah, don't ask me to. That guy goes, "You've got the fur fucked up sofas." Then the other guy goes, he goes like, "No, you stole my Prado," and he's like, "Hey, did not steal your Prado." I just want to know. Like,
what the
hell's
going on?
I just want to know how it happens that these people are in each other's world, and he's got like four sofas that the other oak is meant to have. Or it's very complicated. We need clarity.
Trailer then.
Just like on the Gene Hackman death, we need Leanne to investigate. We need you to come back with answers. I'm deeply dissatisfied after watching that clip.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it was a weekend, and therefore there was some sport. Ben went to the rugby in Pretoria because I saw him, and the Bulls won. That's all I know.
They did. 21-20.
Okay. Very good. 21-20, very by a ball hair. Hey?
Very, very close. Mm. The Sharks did the same thing, 35-34 to Zebra. I'm going to double down with the way I said
no,
that.
No.
Doubling down. the Stormers, they played the Scarlets. They won 29-17. And Cardiff played the Lions 20-17 to Cardiff in that game. There was boring football this weekend.
I'm really yawning.
International football.
I'm already yawning, and we're only 5 seconds into your sports report, James.
I know. But there is good news, guys, because Bafana Bafana played some World Cup qualifiers this weekend.
For God's sake. We're talking about Bafana Bafana.
It's getting so much better for us, guys. 2-0 against Lesotho. We got to play Benin on
against
Tuesday.
Lesotho. They only have 10 people in the whole country who can play soccer. There is no level place in Lesotho for you to play soccer. It's all uphill or downhill. How do we not win against Lesotho?
Gareth.
That's like saying, come on. This is like playing pin the tail on the donkey with actual blind people. Lesotho. Gareth, you think that's a win?
No, well, I don't. You've got to find the silver linings here.
So, I'm sorry. I'm not going to pretend to be optimistic about this. This is an embarrassment. Lesotho. They wear blankets all the time because it's cold. they're the country that Trump said, wherever the hell that is, during his State of the Nation address. Remember? He's like, Lesotho. The people, we said a whole lot of money. To the people of Lesotho, he goes, wherever the hell that is. Nobody knows where that is. That's what he said. Everything's like this. Up the mountain or down the mountain. Where do you play soccer? You keep losing the ball. Guy kicks it up and goes all the way down to the bottom of the mountain. And everyone's like, we're not going to go and fetch that. Just let's stop.
What if I told you that it could mean we go to the World Cup next year?
That would be amazing.
Yeah, there you go.
But then we'll fuck up at the World Cup because we played Lesotho to get there.
We have a bigger game on Tuesday night against Benin. I'm not sure where that is.
It is. I don't know. Nobody knows where that is. Okay, so Benin is on the west coast of Africa.
Oh, so that side.
You just do never eat some
quirms. I did actually. Yeah, I had to do the little circle thing. Okay, the west coast. We play them tomorrow night. In our last World
Cup. Are we playing there or are they coming here?
I think they're coming here.
Because we've just come down from the mountains of Lesotho, haven't we?
We're 16 games unbeaten, though. So there's that. These are the
We've been playing countries like Lesotho. Come on. By the way, if anyone's from Lesotho listening to us, I got the funniest message from a guy who lives in Lesotho.
Mm-hmm.
He's a proud Sotho guy. But he thought Trump was very, very funny when he said that. Because, you know, a lot of people were very touchy about it.
Mm.
Oh, how could he say that? That's so mean. It's like when he called 3/4 of the world shithole countries in his first term. And everyone was super upset.
Including ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just like, who cares? Get on with it. Maybe you earned that reputation. Maybe you don't deserve being called anything better. But maybe if you're a Lesotho and you get called a place that nobody knows, or maybe you think I'm being insulting about Lesotho this morning, maybe you don't have to care. You know, how about the responsibilities on you to decide whether you're going to be upset or not? And if you're going to be upset, you might be a moron.
You might be a moron.
Yeah. Okay. What else have you got for us, moron? Go on. Sorry, did I say that out loud? That was meant to be a quiet in my head voice. Sorry.
World of football. There was Nations League this weekend, which is also boring. It's boring football. It's international. The Premier League's on a break at the moment. Life's kind of boring.
This is like the buffet table after 3/4 of the people have been there.
Basically, watching teams that nobody really cares about, like Germany playing Italy for some reason, and Portugal playing Denmark. So that happened. Spain played Netherlands. That was a 3-3 draw. Boring vibes there. But we're on to the semifinals of that competition. Germany-Portugal in the first semifinal on the 4th of June. Spain versus France in the second quarterfinal on the 5th of June for the Nations League. And then there was also a Formula One this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
So
what happened there?
The two orange cars, the McLarens, another week on top for them. Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris, first and second. George Russell, third. Max Verstappen in fourth. both Ferraris were disqualified after the race. So they said the red cars, you guys had too much fun. You didn't finish this race.
Okay.
Let's try again next week. The reason being, Charles Leclerc's car was 1 kilogram under the 800 kilogram weight limit. And Lewis had a piece of plankware attached to the bottom of his car. That's what it says here, which is the same reason he came third in the 2023 US Grand Prix.
Plankware.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Wooden plank.
Well, I thought they were using mostly carbon fiber for these cars, so I'm not sure why they would be.
Wow, and the other one was just a kilogram under.
1 kilogram.
So if they just...
Was that with the person in the car?
So they weigh them both. I'm not sure. So after the race, they do the final weighing of both them and the person in the car. But the driver loses fluids racing.
During the
sweating.
Race, yeah. Yeah, I mean, a kilogram is just hardly anything if you're in there.
But they've become really strict with the rules this year because they're trying to really level out all the teams and all the cars so it's more competitive. So that's why they have these 1 kilogram weight rules that you can't.
I mean, if you'd just taken a couple of fishing weights, you know,
slipping into Lewis's pocket, you'll be
unbelievable.
Overweight every week.
And a plank.
Yeah.
They really are very, very nitpicky. I suppose you have to be, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's lots of money on the line here. Right. That's it.
Thank you very much, James.
Thanks
that
for
was
having
lovely.
Me, hey.
Fantastic for people who care about this stuff.
Fantastic-ish.
That's great. All right. While James is on his way back into the producer's booth, I thought that this would entertain you. Someone sent me a picture of something that they found at a butchery. And the combination of these two words and the fact that this exists as a product is just awful to me. Right. It's something called pork lard, okay?
Yes.
Ooh. Look at that, pork lard. Two things that should never go together in a sentence or in a word or in a tub. There's a tub. You could buy a tub of pork lard.
You cook with it, right?
What do you do with it?
You cook
Tell
with
me.
It.
Enlighten me.
I haven't seen pork lard before, but I've seen, I think,
pork lard.
Duck lard.
Yeah.
Is it duck lard? Do ducks have that much fat on them?
I don't know.
Maybe it is pork lard. But yeah, you cook with it. It's pure fat, animal fat.
It's dreadful. Look, I don't know.
It'll make a really crunchy Sunday roast.
Yeah, but I don't ever want to try pork lard again.
You've probably eaten it millions of times. It's probably
I'm very disturbed by
your potatoes, your roast potatoes have been cooked in it. Your
pork turkeys. Lard.
Yeah.
Speaking of pork lard, here there's a story about the 16-year-old kid who slept with a teacher.
Yeah.
And now the teacher's been arrested.
Yeah.
But this is so funny because there's the teacher. Jesus. Ooh. Right. There's the teacher arrested, accused of a sexual relationship with 16-year-old student. Then someone comments underneath, arrest the 16-year-old too, because look at her. Right?
Sure.
That's quite something.
We're not supposed to glamorize these situations, but you do kind of tend to think of a young, pretty teacher, right?
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Right.
Let's be honest.
That doesn't look like a hot young teacher.
No.
Show her again.
But I wonder.
Looks like a man.
I wonder if it might have been a female student.
Sure.
Reason that pops into my head is because that happened at my school.
Really?
Mm.
What, like the sports teacher?
Yeah, she was a PE teacher. Yeah,
PE teacher, right?
And yeah.
Come on, girls. Don't worry about changing in front of me. Yeah, that kind of thing, huh?
So who knows?
I've seen a lot of minge in my life. I'm not scared.
But I don't know if a 16-year-old boy would particularly find that woman attractive.
No, I don't think anyone on earth would. Just show her again. Jesus, you're having a rough day today. Just think about how lucky you are, okay? If today's not going your way, if today's not going your way, just think about that. Yo, she looks like she was attacked by crows.
Oh, my God, Gareth.
That's bad. Seriously. I feel terrible for that 16-year-old. Whether it's a boy or a girl, I think it's a terrible, terrible thing.
Oh, dear.
All right. And then one last thing I got to show you. This is a goblin dwarf. It's a singing thing. You know, we've had a lot of singing this morning in the show. It's all part of my... Cheer us up on a Monday.
Yeah.
You know, we have that feminist standing in the forest singing about the
Creoles.
People of color. Yeah, whatever. The people of color. And then we've got that Dr. Sue with Ted Lee.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have a dwarf goblin. I don't know what this thing is. Don't know what it's singing about. I have no idea. There's no context for this at all. But he, she, they, it's a cheery creature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cheerful. That's a cheerful creature. And here's the song. Take a look. This should spur you on to Happy Monday.
Bajo de su sala, acurrucadito, duermen los pollitos, hasta los todillas. Los pollitos dicen, pío, 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 cuando tienen hambre, cuando tienen frío. La gallina busca el maíz y el trigo, le da la comida y le presta abrigo. Bajo de su sala, acurrucadito.
And it goes on and on and on. It doesn't stop. It has endless reserves of breath.
It's like a Duracell bunny.
It's like a togolosh, man. What is that?
I don't know. But they sound like she has lung issues.
I don't know. Look.
Because they're, what's going on there. To get that what song
I will,
out.
What I will say is that I sent this to a friend of mine and said, happy whatever, Friday or whatever it was. And then they replied, oh, holy mother of God. That's all they said. So I was like, all right, let's move on. And moving on is what we're going to do now with Shando Laurenti, because this guy has such an interesting life. If you follow him on social media, you'll see he is, he's got lions around him the whole time. And he does all kinds of cool things that you would love.
Oh, yeah.
His life would just be perfect for you. And I'm very relieved that you weren't eaten by the lions, because you weren't here. You were meant to be here last week, and then it was traffic or something. But I immediately thought, oh, no, he's been eaten by the lions. So that didn't happen. But it's delightful to have you here. How are you?
thank you guys for having me. It was the city that got me last week. It wasn't the animals.
Yeah.
But I'm super excited to finally be here with you guys.
Actually, no, great
made it this morning.
Great to have you here with us. So I've been following you on social media for a while. James has too, and Leanne, I think you know who Shandor is too. So how did it all start for you? Because you don't just suddenly end up like petting lions.
Yeah.
You know?
Can I pet that dog?
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it wasn't just like I woke up one day and I was like, hey, where's the nearest lion?
Yeah.
It's something that I've pretty much grown up doing. My dad is an animal behaviorist. His mom before him was an animal behaviorist.
Mm. Wow. So three generations.
Wow.
Okay.
That's so I've amazing. Just kind of taken over the family line. And yeah, my family now has fur for themselves. So
it would have been weird if you'd said, nah, it's not really for me. You know,
oh, it happens.
That's how you grew up.
Oh, it happens.
It's weird.
Was there pressure?
There wasn't any pressure. I think it was something that happened so naturally and organically.
Yeah.
I've got two siblings. Neither of them do anything with animals. So, you know, my brother works in IT and I play with lions. So it's, there's a very big contrast.
Well, what kind of things did you learn growing up from animals that you didn't from humans? Because I often think paying attention to animals, you see quite a lot about people. In the way animals behave, because we always think we're so superior, and we definitely are, you know, at the top of the pyramid. But actually, in so many ways, we are inferior in evolutionary biology terms to so many things that animals are and aren't doing. Is that your understanding?
I definitely think so. You know, everything in nature kind of everything has its purpose, and everything happens for a reason. I think in terms of the behavior and the personalities, you know, when we think of animals, we think of, oh, those are lions or those are giraffes. But they've all got such unique individual personalities, which I think, you know, it's what makes my job exciting, is getting to understand the individual animal, the likes, the dislikes. And I think you can definitely associate a lot of their behavior and their likes and their dislikes to humans. I think there's a very close comparison to that.
So hyenas, because you also work with them a lot, they must be very, very interesting. With lions, and I suppose all animals are interesting, but we don't think of hyenas as cute and cuddly, and we don't think of them as being particularly upstanding animals. You know, we always think of them as being these scavengers. They make funny noises. They stink. There's so much about hyenas that's just not instantly attractive. And that's not true either.
It's not. I love hyenas, honestly. They're one of my favorite animals to work with.
Yeah.
Such cool personalities. They're so intelligent.
Yeah.
They can problem solve. So that's where you see these stories of them opening tents and going into the camps and like going into houses. Super, super intelligent animals. But like physically watching them problem solve things is amazing. They're emotive as well. So when they're happy, they smile. When they're sad, they cry. It's a female dominated species. So the ladies are in charge. It's probably why they're so smart. I think they're such cool animals. The Lion King gave them a very bad perception.
Yeah, maybe it's the Lion King that's responsible for their bad rep.
I had this conversation with someone the other day, and we were looking at the hyenas while we were having this conversation. They're like, if I have to think back, it was the Lion King that made me not like them. And, you know, they do get a really bad rap. Although they do scavenge, so do lions. If you go places like the Ngorongoro Crater, more north in Africa, you'll find that the hyenas are the predominant predators and the lions are the predominant scavengers. So it really just depends on the population distribution within the area.
Okay. I mean, look, there's you with a hyena. What do you know the names of? Can you identify them just by seeing them?
So that is Stinky, the hyena.
Stinky, while Stinky. Talking about giving them
her,
a bad
her name is Timber, but
rightfully
named Stinky.
Okay.
And you obviously know these animals really well. And that's the key. No, if anyone else went up and like held that hyena's face like that, they'd probably get taken out.
100%. I mean, that's a 3.5 ton per square inch jaw pressure in that mouth. So your finger or whatever is going to come.
And not, do they know you, the lions, all the others? So they know you. They know your smell. They know your appearance. They know it's you. And they behave differently with you than they would with any other primate.
Most definitely. So, at number one, the animals have incredible facial recognition skills. So, you know, they can differentiate people. It's quite amazing. Their response to your voices. I started working with these guys when I was very young. So I've grown up with them as they've grown up with me. So it's, you know, a very close bond in that sense. But most definitely, I mean, if someone, even with other handlers at the park, even my dad, that hyena absolutely hates him. So, you know, they build connections with specific people. And it's not to say that I can go in and interact with any animal in the park. It's very specific characters, and you really have to have that connection and that trust without forgetting that it's an apex predator.
Yeah, so you say that the hyena hates your dad, but it's interesting to me how individuals will decide, well, we'll make an exception for that human. Or how old were you when you were brave enough to go in there? Or was it just something that you did from an early age that you didn't even think much about?
Is your dad like Steve Irwin? Did he dip you into the crocodile pit at a young age?
Pretty much. So there's the very first big cat that I got to go in with as an adult big cat was a cheetah by the name of Shatana. And I was 11 years old. Probably don't do this at home.
No, I mean, this is the you're a meal.
Exactly. My dad had to go to work. There was no one to look after me. So I went with to work. And he's like, yeah, hold the lead. So we were out with her and she was like, that leg looks very tasty. I was quite a chubby child. Like very juicy thigh. And she grabbed it and I was like, Hey. And he looked at me and he's like, sort yourself out. And
you're about to be eaten.
Moved it off my leg.
Not today. You can't have this meat today.
You know, I needed that still.
Sure.
Just for a few more years.
Did you give her a smack or like, how does it work with a cheetah? How do you dissuade them from chewing on your leg?
I don't want to say it's like a dog, but it's like a dog. You would do the same thing.
Okay.
So
is that
moved her. That's Cindy.
Okay. Very beautiful. That
Cindy's actually only got one eye. I don't know if you can see.
Okay, not so beautiful. I can't see the missing eye, but she's a lovely looking cheetah.
She's the sweetest thing.
Okay.
But
sorry, finish your story though with Shatana.
Shatana moved it off my leg. Best friends ever since.
Didn't have to go for stitches or.
I had a few bite marks in my leg, nothing too hectic.
Okay.
And thankfully some of the only ones that I've gotten over my 18 years. But that cheetah was probably made the biggest impact out of any animal that I've worked with. So that was a rough start to the relationship.
And you said you became like best friends with her.
Honestly. So I lost my mom at a kind of around that time that I started spending time with her. And I think she helped me so much through that.
Really?
And I think that was kind of like the spark for me. Is I saw at the time I didn't fully notice it, but she made such an impact in my life. I was like, how can I make as much of an impact in their lives as they have in mine? And that's kind of how the journey started.
But they can sense too that you've experienced a tragedy.
100%.
And I find, and the reason I say that is, I mean, the scale is completely different, but my cats at home can...
Yes,
can tell when I've been through a tragedy. And in fact, when my mum had her stroke, about 10 years ago, it's even longer now, I think, from that day, one of my cats started sleeping on my chest. She'd never done it before. And she did that until the day she died.
Hmm.
They 100% can sense that tragedy in a person.
So they read you.
Yeah.
They do. And I think, you know, when you have that emotional connection with them, some people listen to this and they think it sounds strange, but, you know, you experience it when you have that connection with any type of animal. It can be your dog at home.
Mm.
It's, you know, they pick up on your energy and your vibes and, you know, what you're going through and your behavior.
So Shandor, people, you get two camps now that are quite vocal about what they think human and animal interactions should be. There are those people who say we shouldn't interfere with them at all. We should leave animals alone. We shouldn't have anything to do with them. They should be completely left to their own devices. And you know, if they get sick, they get sick and they die. And if they can't find food, they starve and humans shouldn't interfere. And then you get those people who are like, well, actually, we're all on the planet at the same time. We have a responsibility to be involved with them. They didn't necessarily choose that, but now we have to be the ones who look after, you know, a cub is found somewhere and the mother's been killed or whatever.
Considering we were the ones that displaced them.
Yeah, correct. So we have a responsibility there. How do you see that working? And especially working at a place like you work, where people have, they come in with all kinds of ideas. They're not involved every day, but they come in from the outside and they're going to now tell you how to do what you do. How do you feel about those things? And what's your, do you have a particularly strong opinion?
I think it's, you know, it's been quite a strong debate over the last few years. I think the something I hear fairly often is all of these animals should be in the wild. And that's great. And I have the same ideal in an ideal world. Mm-hmm. But the reality is when someone says that, what wild are we talking about? We have our national parks, our private game reserves. The more and more people that, you know, are born every single day, the more space they need.
Yep.
Habitat depletion is a serious thing for these guys.
Yep.
Safe habitats that have not been turned into farmland, into communities. So like you were saying, you know, these animals have been put in our care. It's a problem that, I wouldn't say it's a problem, but it's a situation that we've inherited. And it's our responsibility to you know, continue to look after them till the end of their days. But in that process is how can we make a difference? How can we educate? I mean, the park alone, the Lion and Safari Park, we take in roughly about 30,000 school kids every single year.
That's amazing.
Close to 60% of those kids come from underprivileged communities. So this may be the only means of them ever seeing a lion. They yes. don't have the means to go to the Kruger yes. Park or a lot of these private game reserves. So if you can change the perception of a small group of those kids, we're educating the conservationists of tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's definitely a very important purpose to parks like ours. But again, in saying that, the Lion and Safari Park is just over 2,000 hectares. So it's a very big property.
Mm.
We also have a lot of naturally occurring wildlife. We sit very close to Lanceria with the talks of the smart city development. And I've worked on research projects there over the last 10 years. And some of our research areas, like if I have to go back into those same populations, a lot of the animals like the lycophants and so on that we're researching, like where we would see 40 in a few kilometer stretch, you're lucky if you see one now.
Oh, really?
So you can see the effects of the city moving further and further out. So although people come to see, you know, the big animals, the charismatic megafauna, the animals that people build that emotional connection with, there's 100 other species that you may not even have heard of that call that facility home. And they naturally occur, you know, on the reserve. We have wild leopard, caracal, jackal, brown sure. hyena, serval, and many, many other species. So it's really important, you know, for parks like ours, they do serve a purpose.
You said they all have individual personalities, just like humans, I suppose. Mm. You know, if someone had to land here as an alien and go and they met you or me, they might not have a very favorable opinion about the rest of humanity.
have a very different experience.
are there some of the animals that you're especially wary of, or are you always on your guard? Because they are wild animals still. And, you know, we hear these horrible stories about how someone has been friends with this lion for 25 years and then he suddenly eats the head off.
Mm.
And you think, that came out of nowhere, but that's an animal. It's a wild animal. So how do you factor that in when you interact with them? Because you get up close and personal. These animals know you well.
It's like a whole process, right? So number one, growing up with a lot of these animals, you really understand the individual personalities. So you can generally tell when they're having a good day, when they're having a bad day. They're like us. They do have bad days. And when they're having those days, you need to kind of respect that. One thing I specifically do is I will always let the animal come to me. I never go up to the animal. And it's the easiest way for them to say, hey,
not in the mood.
Not today. And it's kind of, you know, respecting that space. But at the end of the day, you know, these are apex predators. The instinct is always still there. So one thing my grandmother taught me is complacency is the biggest killer. So you always have to, regardless of how cute and cuddly it looks, you always have to bear in mind that at the end of the day, this is a predator. Their instincts are still there. And it's, you know, respecting that. That's why it sounds weird when I say it, but I never recommend that people try and interact with predators and stuff like that.
Sure. You need to know what you're doing.
You need to build that respect and understand the individual personalities.
Wow. Okay, so tell me about the ones that you're most scared of. Like when you see one of these animals is having a bad day. I mean, a lion obviously is a very powerful animal. A hyena is a very powerful animal. I saw you with a giraffe just now. They're not going to get aggressive with you, but they can have, as you say, a bad day. And you get knocked by one of those quite hard. If it like swings its neck at you, you're finished. That could kill a person, right?
Very, very quickly. I think the animal I'm most scared of is probably people.
good answer.
No jokes.
No, good answer.
The animals you can often read quite easily. Exactly. Came out of nowhere. But people are always a little bit more difficult to read. But in terms of, you know, the wildlife, for the most part, I prefer the larger animals. The smaller animals, like all my bites and scratches have always come from the really small things.
Like what?
Caracal, serval, things like that. Meerkats. Not my favorite thing. I worked on a research project with meerkats for 2 years.
Yeah.
And we were coloring and reintroducing them back into wild areas. The amount of bites that I've had from meerkats has been crazy. Worst little teeth, and they always hit your bone.
Well, you know,
ow.
I went to a goat cheese farm once.
You and the goats this morning.
A lot of goats.
I'm with you.
And there was a monkey that rode the horses, which was quite fun. But at one point, I needed to go to the loo, and it's like at someone's house, this kind of weird factory farm thing. And in the bathroom was a meerkat, and I thought, oh, how sweet! But it actually like came for me, and I was stuck in the bathroom because I had closed the door, and he came out of like the bath or something. And I was actually petrified of him. They're cheeky little things.
These things that happen to you, it's unbelievable.
They're hectic little things. So they do that little angry hop.
Yes.
And then they come for you. And that hop comes, you know, there's a bite coming.
Well, I mean, they take out snakes. So they're not, they're not foolish little tough soft toys. It's amazing to me, though, how so many people in this country don't know anything. And they don't ever see these animals in real life. And I think it's so sad. I love the fact that places like your park exist, because it's also close enough to Joburg that people who've only got maybe 24 hours in the city, they can still go out and have a real authentic experience and interact with these animals. You know,
there was one lion at your farm when I last visited, which was a long time ago. I don't know if you knew of his reputation, but he would take the tires off of the back of 4x4s.
How long ago was this?
It is a long time. Why?
I mean, I can't say it hasn't happened in the past, but for the most part, you're pretty safe.
No, because he in particular, I was there with my husband at the time, and very stupidly, we had biltong in the cubby hole. So I think that got them reacting a little bit differently. It had also been raining, so the roads was a bit muddy. But the one decided to...
He wanted to play.
Yeah, he wanted to play, and we were the ball of wool.
It's the rainy days. I always tell people, if you want to see animals, go on a rainy day. Lions, prime example, they're nocturnal. So they sleep 16 to 20 hours a day naturally. Mm. So when it's raining and it's cool, they're super, super active.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, so a rainy day is a good day.
And we kind of got stuck in the mud a bit while this lion was chasing us. I was screaming. And my husband at the time said, stop screaming. And he turned around and went, wah! And it was because we'd also had a tire on the back. And that's what he wanted. That's what he wanted to go for. That was his thing.
So, yeah. What are the close calls you've had? Because I'm sure there have been some occasions where you've gone, whew, I'm lucky to get out of that alive.
Yeah.
So it's something you don't really think about in the moment. With the lions, I think there's probably one particular story that stands out. So George has a lioness in with him, and they accidentally had babies. I say accidentally. She was on a contraceptive, and she fell pregnant on the contraceptive. Contraception is not foolproof. So just bear that in mind.
Yes.
Anyway, they had these cubs. So George and the lioness, you know, they are hand raised. They've grown up with us, but their cubs are raised in the pride. So my interaction with the cubs is strictly based around what happens with their parents. But they were comfortable enough for me to be around them. But young male lions at around 2 years old, they get ousted from the pride.
Yeah.
And he was at that stage where he was starting to fight with George, kind of for dominance. And I was out of the vehicle one day. I was very far from the vehicle. And they do the wilder ones do like a growl when they want to treat. And they do a growl that like, hey, I'm coming to eat you. And my perception has always been animals will never.
And there's a fine line.
Hey, I'm coming to eat you. That's quite a thing. Okay.
I always have, you know, I've always had that perception that the animals are not going to protect you. We attach human emotion to animals too often. You know, pride instinct is going to kick in, and they're all just going to join in.
Tickets for you.
Exactly. And that he literally just started coming for me. I was like, this is it. I've got nowhere to go. And the lioness came from the side and grabbed him, and George came running from behind me, knocked me to the side and grabbed him, and it gave me enough time just to get back into the vehicle.
Wow. So your lions rescued you from a lion.
Exactly. I got back into the vehicle and my knees are shaking, and there was like people in the car, and I'm like, so on this side over here, guys.
Oh, my word.
Wow. My God. Are there special things that you have to do? We know that these animals are, you know, very peculiar about smell, about when last they were fed, all of these kinds of things. Are there things that you need to do? Let's say, for example, you're taking some people out and you're hoping to give them a really special experience, but obviously it depends on the animals. Are there special precautions you can take? Are there things that you can do? Are there ways that you can gauge how the animals are feeling that will allow you to know how much leeway you've got?
So I think in terms of the animals themselves, their behavior, the facial expressions, the body postures, with the animals that I work, and I specifically refer to the animals that I work with, they all have kind of unique ways of changing those kind of things when they're not having, you know, a great day. So in terms of that, I can physically see, okay, our face is a little bit off today. Our ear posture is not great. Our body posture is not great. But I think that's the biggest reason I'll always let them come to me, because honestly, if they are having a bad day, they won't come over.
Yeah.
So that interaction is always entirely based on the animal. Like, you know, they have to be up for it. And 9 times out of 10, they'll come over. It's actually very rare that they won't come over and say hello.
Look at you playing with that lion's paw like that. That's incredible.
That's George.
Wow.
He weighs just over 250 kilograms. He's actually one of the biggest lions that we have. What's really cool with George is my dad worked with his dad. So it's like a generational thing again, where we've kind of moved down the generations. But he's incredibly sweet, incredibly cute, but he's a little bit of a diva as well.
Oh, yeah?
He's got like a very unique personality. He'll let you know when he's not having a good day, or he does this thing where he'll look at you just with the corner of his eye, and then he just turns and glances off into the distance.
Yeah, it's like putting you in your place.
You.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What sort of animals are just always fun? Which ones are the ones that you don't have to stress about? I think they're happy, they're chilled, they get along with you, they get along with whoever comes along, tourists, whatever. And then, by the way, I'm gonna have you just explain to tourists how they shouldn't get out of cars and things as well. We'll get to that.
Exactly. So I think some of the best animals are probably the giraffe. I think they're just the most chilled. We've got one giraffe, Purdy, and so that is Skye. She's actually a little orphan that we rescued. She's actually been released back into the reserve. Okay. Also super, super sweet. But
those eyelashes.
Yeah. Eyelashes for days.
Amazing.
They're
huh?
hectic. but giraffe, it doesn't look like it, but they've got like such hectic personalities.
Really?
You wouldn't think it, but I mean, we've got a giraffe, Zoe. She's also an orphan that we've hand-raised that has been released back into the reserve. And I mean, when she was younger, she would run after us. Like, we're trying to feed her, trying to clean, and she would run after us just to get the reaction. And she'll continue to do that over the years. What's amazing is, like, Zoe being an orphan that was brought into us, we hand-raised her. We released her back into the reserve. She has her own baby now that she's happily looking after out in the wild in the reserve. But I think it's kind of humbled her a little bit. She's a little bit more mellow. She's like, I see what you went through now.
Yeah.
Trying to raise her. Okay. And then tourists. Let's just talk about this for a second because people are so stupid.
It was a tourist many years back.
There's so many tourists who do stupid stuff.
Wasn't there was a guy who was,
I don't know,
like a Jesus guy.
I don't know.
He was Jesus.
I don't have specifics, but there are people delusional. There are people who, I don't know, they feel very brave or they're stupid. They just don't know the rules. They don't read the rules. What kind of advice do you have for people so that they can behave themselves around these animals and not create a nuisance?
So, you know, I think the biggest thing is just respecting the animal space. I mean, we don't allow any public predator interaction at the park. But, you know, at the end of the day, these guys have very large spaces that you're coming into their home, their environment.
I can think of a few people I'd like to feed to lions, but we're not allowed.
I'm sure we can all think of a few.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, just keep your distance. This is one thing I say to people. So you'll always get those people that'll try and get as close as possible, get the best photograph. And they push those boundaries, but at the end of the day, you're pushing the boundaries of a wild animal. Respect their space, and I promise you, give them the distance, just be present in the moment, and that is when the best sightings occur, when the animals are comfortable and they're happy. Mm. They do their thing, and that's when the really, really special moments happen.
I love it. Mm. Thank you so much for coming to spend some time with us this morning. And I'm very glad that you haven't been eaten by a lion.
I do have one more question.
We were worried about. Oh, go ahead, Leanne. I was about to wrap it up, but you go ahead. You go with your question.
Do you have opportunities to interact with animals that aren't at your farm? So, for instance, elephants, rhino, etc.
So I've had the opportunity, you know, if we've gone out to do rescues and stuff like that.
Mm.
It's very weird in saying this, but I will not actively go and try and interact with animals outside of the ones that I work with.
Yeah.
I've been to so many places and people will be like, come in. And I'm like, no, I don't know your animal.
Yeah.
I don't know their personalities. I like to feel comfortable in the space that I'm in, and respect the animals. I won't actively go out and try and do it. Like, I'm a beach person. If I go on holiday, I'm straight to the beach. No animals there.
Well, you can follow Shandor online. He's at Shandor Laurenti, and also go and visit him at the Lion and Safari Park. Very, very cool what they've got going on there. Lovely to have you here.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thanks for coming to see us. And we will catch you on Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. bright and early. Have an awesome week. Ciao. If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning, I'd hammer in the evening, all over this land. I'd hammer on danger, I'd hammer on the morning, I'd hammer on
If I had a friend, I'd bring it in the morning, I'd bring it in the evening.